see if this was okay. Perfect. Okay. Let me start out right here. Hold on. Okay. My guest is Dr. Brian Artis. You'll remember Dr. Brian Artis. I know everyone knows him because of the fact that I had him on the show. He was exposing what the hospital was doing based on his own personal account of his father-in-law in the hospital. And since that time, Dr. Artis has been on a mission to help educate the public about the dangers of our institutes of health. In fact, you know what? I liken it to the fact, Dr. Brian Artis, that we are kind of like when Harry met Sally, and he tells her that you're the worst kind because you're high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance. We have universal care system now. We have Canada now, health system in our hospitals in America, but we think we're free. We think we're just fine, but we're not. And so we'll talk to him about that too. CEO of Artis Labs, and of course, you have so many wonderful, you even do a show, which I absolutely love. I love this. You have supplements. You have all kinds of things that you do. And you can go to the Dr. Dr. ArtisShow.com. The Dr. ArtisShow.com. That's Artis with one S, ARDIS. And so the Dr. ArtisShow.com. Welcome to the show, Dr. Brian Artis. How are you?
Kate, it's fabulous to be with you.
I know.
Thank you for inviting me back on your show.
Oh, you too. I'm always so happy to have you. You know, so many things you discuss, how to cure yourself and how to deal with this political cult going on and what to do if you're vaxxed and advantages of ivermectin, which we all know, everyone on the planet knows that this is a safe medication that, that people can take to help stop virus and all kinds of things. Where do we stand right now, 2 years into this? 2 years into this, I can't believe I'm saying that, but where do we stand? What is the most important thing to you right now in information to get to people?
Number one is the aspect of natural immunity in respect to any infections ever, including viral infections. So I just want to speak to your audience a little bit and to you, because you asked what's the most important thing we need to focus on right now.
Right.
Number one is the willful ignorance of our federal health agencies to acknowledge that natural immunity even exists.
Mm. Yeah,
Dr. Peter McCullough and his wife were in my home about 3 weeks ago, and I walked up to him and I said, "So, Peter, I have a question. Of all things that we are in the media trying to actually convey, warn, and inspire people, is there anything outside of hospital protocols you think I should focus on?" And he said, "If you'll just continue to hammer away on natural immunity, we have to win that one, because they want to continue to disregard that like it doesn't exist."
Yeah,
so I want to speak to that a little bit to your audience, if you don't mind.
Sure, please.
There's currently 144 plus studies on brownstone.org. There is a compilation of 144 plus studies confirming that natural immunity after getting COVID-19 infection is far robust and longer lasting than all the COVID-19 vaccines. And that is a great resource, brownstone.org, at the Brownstone Institute. It was compiled by Paul Elias Alexander. It is a phenomenal list, but I want to take you through a few of these that are significant.
Okay.
Number one, the European Journal of Immunology, September 24th of 2021, so just like 3 months ago. They published and had it peer-reviewed, and it published on September 24th. They disclosed and found that of all people that were exposed to COVID-19, got the infection, 13 months later they confirmed they had robust CD4, CD8, and T cells. Now, before you try to figure out what those things are, these are natural antibodies that fight the virus.
Okay.
Now, why this is important, this is in Finland, by the way, this is where it was published, in Finland. Why this is significant to your audience, Kate, is right now Pfizer and Moderna are advertising and saying that their COVID-19 shots are only providing immunity for 6 months after the shot. So we need to get booster shots every 6 months.
Incredible.
Well, natural immunity already in September of last year is proving to have a better immunity that is twice as long as Pfizer and Moderna's advertised. And it's obviously way better than Johnson & Johnson, because a month ago, Johnson & Johnson said, "Our actual shots are only providing 2 months of immunity." And when they actually asked Anthony Fauci on that day in the media, on Fox News and on CNN, they said, "What do you have to say about Johnson & Johnson reporting their immunity is only providing 2 months?"
Right.
for all the people that thought one shot for the whole thing and they'd be fine.
Right.
And do you remember his answer? His answer was, I guess we now learned it should have been two shots from the beginning.
Jeez. Wow.
Now, Kate, can you do the math?
Mm-hmm.
If one only works for 2 months, how long is two going to last?
Yeah, this is getting ridiculous. We're going to be up to 120 shots before we know it.
It is ridiculous, right? So let me tell you about a better one even. There's a study in that compilation of 144. Maybe it's up to 149 now, but there was a study done by the University of Washington State mm-hmm. at St. Louis. These scientists were able to evaluate COVID-19 infected patients, and they were looking in the bone marrow of these people to see if they contained what are called long-living plasma cells. Long-living plasma cells are the cells, after you get an infection, that live in your bone marrow
mm-hmm.
and provide indefinite immunity, which means for life. And every single COVID-19 patient who had been infected the year prior had these cells. And they defined it and declared and published their study and research that everyone that gets COVID-19 once has indefinite immunity for life because they found evidence of long-living plasma cells. But this is totally being ignored in the media. No one's talking about it, at least in the mass media. But right. in our circles, we're continuing to let people know natural immunity is far superior already. We know just a year and a half or 2 years into this pandemic, already proven better to these vaccines. So anyway, this is exciting. We want your audience to know, trust what God created.
Amen.
Which is your human body and your natural immunity. It's already proving far superior to what man's creating in a lab and trying to convince you that if you'll let us shoot this stuff into your body, it'll make God's creation better. Man did not figure out how to make this creation better.
Oh, amen to that. I know. It's stunning. It is stunning that the words, you know, your immune system, the one that is in the inside of our bodies, has not been mentioned by anyone in government, CDC, or anyone reporting on any of this in mainstream for two solid years. You wouldn't even believe we have an immunity. Like you wouldn't even know we had this in our bodies that have kept us from getting ill all of the time, you know, our whole lives. Maybe in certain cases you could get maybe sick here or there, but my gosh, it's been working for us for our entire life. But we're supposed to just forget about that from 2 years ago. And the hospitals are forgetting about this. When he asked, I know a doctor that asked a hospital about natural immunity and they would not comment on it. Does it just astound you at this point, 2 years in?
Yeah, what shocks me the most, I think, is that how many medical professionals, medical doctors, nurse practitioners, hospital administrators, are just complicit to follow the narrative. I don't understand why they don't stand up, speak out, question, confront any of the crap that we're hearing in the media. It's just insane to me. I mean, truly. Seriously, I really do think there have been some write-ups and some narratives of published articles recently this last week where they are saying that the COVID pandemic narrative is crumbling. And I think they think that because it's been going on the same for 2 years, but nothing appears to be getting better.
Like, so true. Oh, that is the truth. Weird. I mean, it's really weird. And again, you know, I had you on for monoclonal antibodies because people still think that, yeah, you guys might be right on that hospital thing because their death rate's so high in the ICU, but the monoclonal can save us. And I keep telling people, are you nuts? It's a fake substance that was manufactured in a lab, a Rockefeller lab. You don't want this either. Did you still want to comment on monoclonal?
Yeah, so I do want to talk about monoclonal antibody because if I'm going to talk about those, which we did a great show on InfoWars mm-hmm. with you one day.
Yeah.
On several, there's like six research studies that got my attention and had me concerned enough to want to be able to speak on that topic. But I do want to say there's one thing about the monoclonal antibodies that no one's really looking at, I don't think, or
okay.
admitting to.
Okay.
These are only being used during early treatment period,
mm-hmm.
which already has a 99.997% success rate.
Good point.
Regardless of what you do early treatment-wise. So monoclonal antibodies are not really being used in hospitals. These are outpatients, so they're typically out in parking lots or infusion centers that are separate from a hospital.
Mm.
And those that are actually doing the monoclonal antibodies, they are doing other things also like budesonide and like hydroxychloroquine. I mean, they're offering multiple faceted medicinal treatments.
Mm-hmm.
I am not convinced that the monoclonal antibodies are the actual fix for the condition. Mm-hmm. I actually am trusting the natural immunity and the other things they're using to improve the breathing state of those.
Amen.
They are definitely not as dangerous as remdesivir in hospitals. It is by far the deadliest drug, period, that they're still injecting in every COVID-19 right. hospitalized American.
So true. I'm so glad you commented on this, because too many people, they go, well, this is new on the market and we should do this because they're saying it's a safe way to bypass the severity of anything. And that the only thing that results in that is the severity to which you get a cold depends on how depleted you are with vitamins, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, has nothing
for
to
the
do
majority
with
of anybody that ever got a virus. Mm-hmm. I just want to relate a book that is wonderful, a little book. It's called Anatomy of an Illness, and it was written by a guy named Norman Cousins. Like 50 years ago, he wrote this book.
Okay.
He was diagnosed with a terminal illness, put in a hospital. He said all night long, nurses would come in and take his vitals. And then he would hear the janitors out in the hallway cleaning all night long, and he never could get a full night's rest. He asked for vitamin C. They wouldn't give it to him. So he hired a lawyer to actually have him moved across the street into a hotel. And a nurse was only allowed to come visit one time a day to take his vitals. They had to provide vitamin C and allow him to take it as much as he wanted. He could sleep as much as he wanted and rest. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted comedy in the form of a TV with a VCR. And the hospital provided comedy movies so he could laugh his way out of the illness.
This guy beat
that illness and lived for decades.
No way.
He knew vitamin C was important. Uh-huh. He knew resting and sleep was important. And he knew laughter was the best medicine because that's what his mom taught him.
I love it.
Just so everyone knows, the same principles Norman Cousin discusses how he beat his terminal illness still applies to everyone, even with COVID. Vitamin C infusions, vitamin C orally, is what got China out of the pandemic. And they gave free vitamin C to all their citizens for the whole year of 2020 when they figured out vitamin C beat the pneumonia state of COVID-19 infected patients early on.
Astounding.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
like, China still only has less than 5,000 dead people from COVID-19 in the whole country of billions.
Jeez.
America has 850,000 dead being treated and poisoned with remdesivir.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Is America passing out free vitamin C? No. We talked about it right before the show, Kate. We're super excited because Joe Biden's solution is free masks for everybody. We're going to send out 400 million N95 masks. This is the next solution.
Jeez.
Three free masks for every adult in America. And we already know 2 years later, Kate, these masks don't do anything. They haven't helped at all.
Yeah.
Stop the spread, slow the spread. It's ridiculous.
In fact, they've made it worse. And I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on because of the masks. You wear a toxic little piece of cloth over your face all day and breathe in your own toxins, that's bound to hurt you, right? For 8 hours a day, like we're making our kids do.
Yes.
Jeez.
Reducing oxygen going into the body,
right.
Maintaining higher loads of carbon dioxide. When was that ever considered a benefit?
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. So you have a lot of people. I want you to comment on this too, because you have a lot of people out there. And I want to go as practical as I can for people. When people start to feel the stuffy nose, because, you know, cold is still around. When they start to feel a stuffy nose, and maybe they have a little tickle in the back of their throat, and they're feeling really tired and kind of headachy, they're freaking out. I have COVID. I have COVID. I have COVID. I think it's just a cold or flu or pneumonia, which it could become. But we're calling it COVID. Okay, so you have COVID. And so when do people need to get worried about their symptoms? What should they be looking for to actually get worried about it? Because it might just be a passing cold, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So always number one is early treatment always is best. So the first sign of symptoms, if you're going to do anything, I would do the things I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Would you like me to give them some practical things?
Please. Thank you.
Do you think this audience could use that?
I really do. Let's go back to the basics. Yes.
Let's go back to the basics.
Yeah.
All right, so let's give a reference that people can go back and go, okay, well, I guess that Dr. Ernest guy wasn't making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't. All right, so there's a great website. It's called C19early.com.
Okay.
Now, let's just assume for the masses, because the majority of them are going to freak out if they start having sniffles. They think they got COVID. Why? Because the whole mass media and everyone in the world and family members, friends are all going to be telling them on social media if they find out you got sniffles.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of people are going to go, you probably have COVID. You should go get tested.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to panic anyway, so we might as well remove the panic. At C19early.com, they have this one-page website that gets updated daily, every day.
Okay.
And they look at studies around the world, mm-hmm. and they actually compare what's been found to be the most successful at curing people early of COVID and what's getting people out of hospitals better than anything else. They have these several graphs there, and okay. they chart the thousands of research studies that are being updated daily and coming in from around the world. So at C19early.com, they've got this chart, and it actually shows the best and most successful early treatment studies. Okay? The worst possible thing people could get right now in their own heads and mm-hmm. own minds would be mm-hmm. COVID. Second right. would be like the flu, and then thirdly would be a common cold, which is also a coronavirus. So, mm-hmm. so let's just stick with the basics here, and let's see if we can annihilate their fear of what to do. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so if we go to earlytreatmentstudies.com, it gives you a whole list. And it shows you on the early treatment studies chart all the nutrients that are the most successful at getting people over mm-hmm. COVID-19, which is the thing people are most scared of right now.
Right.
They're less scared of the flu and then even more less scared of the common cold.
Right.
If anyone on this broadcast or in this audience listening gets sniffles, body aches, fever, chills, you most likely have a cold or the flu. It might be the flu or it might be strep. Mm-hmm. Either way, it doesn't matter. All of these things can take care of all of that. This is amazing. So what I did is I compiled a list, and I'm going to take people through it on this show.
Okay.
If you start to have symptoms, the very first thing you need to do if you're not doing anything already, you need to take vitamin D, 5,000 international units every day.
Okay.
And these are what research studies are proving to get people out of COVID early treatment-wise, period, as far as a nutrient, vitamin D.
Okay. And what about 10,000? What about 10,000? Because we gave my husband 10,000 when he was sick.
Oh, I love 10,000 IUs. I actually think everyone on the planet should be taking 10,000 every day. But in these right. research studies, they found 5,000 was enough okay. to get 85% plus of people out of COVID early on.
Okay. A vitamin D3, right? D3?
Vitamin D.
A vitamin D.
D3, yep, okay. 5,000 IUs.
Okay.
So we're just going to go based off the research studies and what they did in these studies when okay. they treated people for COVID-19 with vitamin D.
Okay.
And they simply used 5,000 IUs. I would recommend vitamin D 5,000 in the morning and 5,000 in the evening, personally, just like you said.
Yeah, I think so, too. Okay.
Second thing mm-hmm. is vitamin A. Was the second most successful, and it's at 200,000 IUs per day.
Hmm. Okay, vitamin
sounds
A.
like a lot. It's not yeah. really that much, but this is the second most successful vitamin and mm-hmm. nutrient.
Hmm.
The third is quercetin at 1,000 milligrams daily.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, quercetin. Tell people what that does.
Yeah, quercetin is what's called a zinc ionophore. Lots of people give credit to Zev Zelenko talking about this nonstop from the beginning. That hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were called zinc ionophores. And zinc, I'm going to speak on this quercetin thing still, but zinc is the next element on the list. It's actually 50 milligrams twice a day when you start to have symptoms if you do.
Perfect. Okay.
Now, quercetin helps to keep zinc in the cells. If a virus gets inside of a cell and zinc is present as an element, mm-hmm. the virus cannot replicate in the presence of zinc.
Nice.
Now, this is miraculous because it goes for common cold viruses called coronaviruses. It goes for influenza A, influenza B. These are viruses. It goes for coronaviruses like SARS-CoV-2. Zinc, by far to me, is the most essential mineral you need going into your body every day.
Okay.
When you get sick, I would suggest 50 milligrams twice a day, just like C19 early does.
Okay, perfect.
The next mineral is selenium. I would just recommend everybody have these at home right now and be ready just in case you do get the sniffles, right?
Right. I like that.
Selenium is 200 micrograms daily.
Okay, perfect. All right. And selenium does
That's
what?
Very, very little amount, by the way.
Right. What does selenium do?
Selenium tells your bone marrow to make white blood cells.
Perfect.
I talked about these long-living plasma cells in that Washington State University study.
Mm-hmm.
Long-living plasma cells need selenium to actually make white blood cells that go into your bloodstream White blood cells are what turn into antibodies. And your body will circulate these white blood cells that selenium helps your bone marrow make. And when the thymus receives the white blood cells that your body made with the help of selenium, the thymus differentiates those white blood cells into antiviral cells or antibacterial cells or anti-cancer cells. Thymus cells are called T cells. You'll see that abbreviation a lot when they talk about natural immunity. T cells is short for thymus cells.
Okay.
And these things are powerful enough to kill any stage of cancer cells, powerful enough to kill any viruses. Selenium also, I'll just speak to this in case anybody in the audience is out there. In 1995, the University of Georgia did a study on the HIV virus. They took 200,000 HIV-positive people, and they gave them selenium only. Only selenium at 200 micrograms for 20 years. Not a single one ever converted to AIDS.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
They found early on that HIV virus would attach itself to a cell and signal to the cell to release all of its selenium, and then it could move into the cell. So they had patients just take oral amounts of selenium, and the viruses never would live in the bloodstream. They would die off and leave. How amazing was that?
Wow. Wow, this is crucial.
That's how great that is for...
Crucial information. Okay. And then besides... Wow, I love that. Then besides selenium, anything else? Vitamin C?
Vitamin C, I always recommend it. 5,000 milligrams daily. I just believe everybody should be doing that amount for life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 10,000 if you're sick, maybe. Maybe twice a day like you do vitamin D. Okay. All right.
And I buy it in bulk, and I just put it in things I drink.
Okay. I love that. And then...
Water-soluble.
This is so good. And then anything else?
Yeah, so I want to talk to this because this is incredible. During this cold and flu season, you've heard, and all of us have been aware, even by the crap media, that the viral load in the nose and in the mouth is what's complicating reoccurring COVID pneumonia or COVID infections. There is one mineral that comes in a liquid form. It's called povidone iodine. And you can get this at CVS, Walgreens. Everybody should go and get povidone iodine and have it in your home.
Okay.
It'll come in like this, I don't know, 10 ounce. I don't even know how big it is, but it's a 10% solution of povidone iodine. And it's going to cost you like $7 to $10. It's super cheap. And this bottle will last you for decades. It's not even a joke.
Okay. And what does that do?
Povidone iodine, you're going to take a few drops and put it in water, and you're going to gargle it, and you're going to spray it up your nose with a nasal sprayer.
Okay.
And I'm going to, would you like me to read off to you exactly how you do this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So you do a gargle and nasal wash with it. Gargle it, nasal wash.
Okay.
Here we go. Iodine preparation. You're going to take half a teaspoon of povidone iodine, and you're going to mix it in a shot glass, 1.5 ounces of water, and then you want to squirt it up your nose.
Sounds
you want to sniff that back to the back of your throat and then spit it out.
Okay.
You do this twice in each nostril, and then you gargle with the rest for 30 seconds. Don't swallow, just gargle. And if, anyway, so this is amazing. They found that povidone iodine, if you just sprayed it up someone's nose and had them gargle it twice a day in a hospital, it was 90% effective at getting people out of hospitals.
Interesting.
Isn't that amazing for COVID-19?
Yeah, that really
is. Spraying povidone iodine and gargling it. So
that
I want to
really
stay on this because I've actually used povidone iodine for 15 years now in practice.
Okay.
And at any time ever, if you, a child, a spouse, a grandparent, a loved one, teacher, doesn't matter, anybody you know, if they get a tickle in their throat or a sore throat or strep throat, I'm going to give you instructions for what it was called in my office, Dr. Artis's sore throat gargle. This thing is miraculous. I just had a little printout card and I'd hand it to people if they ever got it. Like, here, keep this, tape it in your medicine cabinet and make sure you have these ingredients. The moment you have a tickle in your throat, there's been nothing more incredible or miraculous than what I'm about to tell you. You take 4 drops of povidone iodine.
Okay.
Comes out, it's really orange, reddish looking. 4 drops in like a 10-ounce glass of water or an 8-ounce glass of water. You're going to put 4 drops only of povidone iodine,
mm-hmm.
1 heaping tablespoon of sea salt, and dump it in there.
Really?
And then you're going to, yep, and then you're going to take 1 tablespoon of hydrogen peroxide and pour it in.
Okay.
And then mix it up. It all dissolves.
Do you swallow this or do you gargle and spit it out?
Nope, you gargle and spit it out.
Okay.
And you gargle this solution several times every 10 minutes until the 8-ounce glass of water is gone. And that may take you a few times to do that, but I'm telling you, even if you woke up in the morning, anyone in your audience, if you wake up in the morning and you have a tickle in your throat or a scratch in your throat,
okay.
even if you just gargle this once or twice before you walk out the door,
mm-hmm.
which has happened to me while I was in practice for 17 years or so,
right.
I've done that a few times where I'd wake up and have a scratchy throat. I'm like, I'm going to go do my gargle. That would do it. And then just walk out the door. I didn't even finish the whole glass. I would do it later in the evening. Never once did I ever have to do it again after the first time in the morning when I did it. It cleared up everything immediately.
Really? Okay, this is so good.
If you know anybody
that
has strep throat, you know they'll have symptoms.
Right.
Their throat feels like razor blades for 7 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
This will knock that out in 48 hours if you do this each day. It's
amazing.
Phenomenal.
And you gargle it for how long? Like a minute or two and then spit it out?
Yeah, I actually would just gargle for a few seconds,
oh.
and then don't spit it out initially. Just hold it in your mouth and
okay.
gargle 2 or 3 times with the same solution, and then spit it out. And
okay.
then wait about 10 minutes to do it again. If you don't have time to wait 10 minutes, whenever you come back to the house to do it then. But
I
it
love
is
this.
A phenomenal
Thanks for
killer
sharing
of virus
that.
And bacteria in the throat that causes these symptoms.
Thanks for
and you
sharing
can use it
that.
Right now for COVID also.
See, this is so cool. Thanks for sharing that because practicality, seriously, people just want practical answers. They just, we're in flu season, cold season, pneumonia season, and it hasn't disappeared, right? So obviously we have to attack those things. And do you think people are getting more sick or do you think we're just overreacting to everything we get? Because I know we used to work through a lot of it, but you know, you go to work anyway when you are not feeling good. But what do you think it is?
I actually think people are overwhelmed, over-anxious, over-stressed, and I think that's suppressing people's immunity even further than what
mm-hmm.
we expect and see in the normal cold and flu season.
Okay.
But that's exactly what I think it is.
Well, good. I'm glad I asked because a lot of people are going, yeah, but a lot of us are sick now. Everyone's sick, and I'm thinking, our stress is causing our sickness, and then
yeah,
I think we're overreacting too, right? There's a little mix
and if,
of both.
And if people and anyone that ever says that to you next time, Kate, if people say that to you, I want you to say, are you taking this list of supplements Dr. Artis suggested?
Yeah, exactly. And you have wonderful supplements on your site, by the way. You can go to the Dr. Brian Artis Show, and I'll spell it out for you. T-H-E, the Dr. D-R. Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. No, it's Dr. Artis, right? So it's the Dr. Artis Show, right? .com?
That is correct.
Okay, so
no
it's...
No Brian in there, just
yeah,
Artis, A-R-D-I-S.
A-R-D-I-S. So it's the, and then D-R, and then A-R-D-I-S, shows, S-H-O-W.com. And you can find his supplements, too. He's got amazing supplements. And I'm telling you, I think if we can just get back to the practical, remember what, you know, remember these simple, simple things to do so that you don't A, freak out, or B, end up in the hospital. The biggest goal of mine this year, since I went through what I went through and you went through what you went through with your father-in-law, is to keep people out of the hospital.
Absolutely. It's number one.
Yeah. Because obviously our universal healthcare system, NIH orders that they have to follow once you're designated as a COVID patient, they will follow through and it's very hard to get you out.
This is very true. So can I talk to that for a second?
Please.
All right. So the last place on earth any of you want to go right now is a hospital, period. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeet has done a great review and a write-up on all the ways in which our federal government is incentivizing hospitals with COVID-related protocols and treatments. So I want to speak to this for your audience so they understand what they're up against. When
okay.
you go into a hospital, all hospitals right now are being told, we will give you a bonus payout every month, just free money, if you can show to us that you PCR tested every single patient that walked through your door, no matter why they came in. You could have been shot in the head with a bullet. If you'll just stick a cotton swab up their nose and tell us you did it, we'll give you extra money. And then they're told, if you will give us a COVID-19 diagnosis for all the COVID positive diagnoses you give us, mm-hmm. we'll give you extra money. Jeez. So they're being incentivized to give COVID positive diagnoses.
Right.
And then the hospitals right now are being incentivized with a 20% bonus payout on Medicare patients alone. Medicare tells our hospitals right now, if you will use Remdesivir in every 65-year and older American treated for COVID-19, we not only will pay you the $2,500 to use that drug, we're going to give you a 20% add-on payment and pay you $3,000 total if you'll just use that drug on your patient.
Despite the fact that it has the worst, it's the highest death rate probably of what, anything they've ever used in the hospital when you combine it with a ventilator. So we're talking about, like, they're just ignoring the death rate altogether, and they've now got this going now plus 2 years?
Yes, and I'd like to ask you, Kate, because mm-hmm. you seem pretty level-headed. If the NIH, which it has published, and the FDA has said there's only one drug in this country that is approved for COVID-19 hospitalized patients, and that one and only drug, per their documents updated December 16th of 2021, Kate, there's only one drug hospitals are allowed to use for COVID-19 hospitalized patients. That drug is called Remdesivir. Can you explain to me why Medicare needs to bribe hospitals with a 20% bonus to just use it on all their Medicare patients?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
Does it make sense to you?
It doesn't make any sense. There's a genocide going on is what's happening, and it doesn't make any sense. You're right. You have to look at motive, and you have to look at why they're doing what they're doing. They're absolutely ignoring the death rate, and the death rate is through the roof, yet all the doctors smile and say it's safe and effective. How in the world can anyone say it's safe and effective if it hasn't even been on the market for anything other than this, and the death rate's high? I don't get it.
And I want you to know, Kate, it's crazy. I didn't know this till about 5 weeks ago when Dr. Valit told me. She said, Dr. Arce, do you know that hospitals are being paid bonus money every month for the number of COVID-19 death diagnoses they give?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that not insane?
Yeah, the whole thing's insane.
Okay. It is insane. Okay, so hospitals are being incentivized and have been bought off by our federal government and our federal health agencies and our Medicare insurance provider. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So hospitals are being bribed and paid money to do all this stuff related to COVID, including Remdesivir and venting you to death, to get a death diagnosis of COVID. So how am I going to help you? The Dr. Artist Show, thedrartistshow.com, has a resources page for those who set up a free username and password.
Right.
There are forms all over my site, but there's two forms I believe every American needs to print and have at home ready to go, and you need to behave, everyone, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if everybody's getting sick, they need to pretend like they're in their third trimester of pregnancy and they need to get their travel bag ready to go in case
exactly.
their water breaks.
You're right.
It doesn't matter the reason. If there's an emergency, if you have a heart attack, if you have a stroke, if you're in a car wreck, it doesn't matter. If you end up at a hospital, they're going to PCR test you, give you a COVID-19 diagnosis of positive, and then they're going to convince you to use Remdesivir and vent you to death and then kill you and get money for it. This is what they're bribed to do. So you need to print two forms and have those ready all the time that declares to the hospital that you do not consent to these things related to COVID.
Excellent.
If they're true for you. So there is a medical directive to physicians form on our website,
mm-hmm.
and there is a medical power of attorney form that everyone needs to print, they need to sign, and they need to get notarized. And these are forms created by an attorney named Kelly Sorrell, who allowed us to put these on our site, and we've gotten this out to hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions. But it's a phenomenal resource. It tells the hospitals you do not consent regardless to getting Remdesivir or to be vented. Did you know, Kate, that in most hospitals in America right now, on the intake form, when you go into the front desk and you sign your loved one in,
right,
you know that it has in small text right now hidden on the intake form? It actually states, by signing this intake form, you are consenting to allow us to give you the COVID-19 vaccine without your verbal consent.
No. When did they start doing that?
Oh, they started doing that about 10 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So on our medical directive to physicians form, there's five things. One, the first one is you do not consent ever, even if you presume for my symptoms or you PCR test me and I'm positive for COVID. I do not consent to remdesivir being vented, ever. The fourth bullet point states, I don't care if I get admitted into this hospital or if you transfer me to a psychiatric facility. I do not now, and I never will consent to the COVID-19 vaccine. And it's unfortunate, but you're in a period of time right now where you have to be on the offensive. So you have to take these forms with you at the beginning and say, I do not consent to these. And I've already done multiple shows with multiple attorneys to discuss the legal ramifications of these forms. If you provide these forms up front, you have recourse to file battery charges against the hospital, against the attending doctors, nurses, the administrators. You can file lawsuits against them and find them liable for negligence and for battery if they do.
Wow.
If you don't have these ready, you almost have no recourses to hold this hospital, the doctors, liable for anything they're doing related to COVID, because each state has emergency rules that are protecting them from all liability. As long as this pandemic of COVID-19 is declared a national emergency, each state has these protective no liabilities from death or harm from COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that everybody in America knows, as many as possible. I've been making audiences aware of this for months now. These forms have been perfectly put together to protect as many as possible. And this is just one way I'm trying to help even your audience or anyone that may not know about those.
I love this, Brian. And also, if you were in the hospital, how do you find out if they gave it to you? Is it disclosed somewhere? I mean, I know they put a lot of stuff in the notes, and in my husband's hospital notes, it said I was a conservative talk show host who thinks she's done her homework. But I know that they're putting all kinds of things in the notes. Would it be in the notes? Where would it be? How can you find out if this happened to you if you signed off on treatment in the very beginning when everybody first gets there and they're all stressed and they sign off on that little computer they give you? How would you know? Where would you look? Do you know?
Yeah. Yep, you have to right now ask for the medical records if you've already been discharged.
Okay.
Often on discharge papers, it will list medications, like medications that are suggested for you to continue when you go home, and it will list the medications they gave you in the hospital. Just so you know, this is how we figured out that they were giving COVID-19 vaccines to people without their consent.
Jeez.
Because on their discharge papers, it would say medication, COVID-19 vaccine, and then it would list the drugs they were taking home with them from the hospital. Isn't that insane?
Oh, my gosh.
And they never consented and had no idea they were injected with it.
This is so criminal. It's so criminal because people in that state, when you take a loved one in, you're frantic because you know your loved one, you know, can't breathe and all they really need is oxygen, but they take advantage of somebody, I think, that is in that state too. And of course, they're not standing there explaining to you what you're signing. You just think you're signing for them just to administer anything, not specific things that they're trying to hide in the paperwork.
Yeah, we have a lot of nurse practitioners and patient advocates that we interview and go up on stage in front of audiences. There's a lot of hospitals right now that are handing people at the check-in desk, they're handing them a iPad that is blank. And they say, sign the pad.
Jeez.
And all the nurses are saying, do not sign that. Do not sign that blank iPad because you have no idea what you're signing. So ask for the printed forms or they have to show you what you're signing first. And you should read all that stuff. Because remember, hospitals are being bought off.
Yeah, that's so true.
And shove some up your nose.
Right.
Give a false diagnosis that's positive. Shove remdesivir in your veins. And just to bring this to light for you, this is just a horrific topic, this remdesivir. If you can't remember the name of this drug when you go to a hospital, Dr. Ryan Cole is a fabulous pathologist out of Idaho, not far from you.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me at an event, he goes, to help your audiences remember the drug's name when they go to hospitals or whenever they're asked their doctors or challenge their doctors they don't want that drug, remember and have them call it Run Death Is Near.
Run Death Is Near. So good. So good.
If you can't remember remdesivir, remember Run Death Is Near.
Oh my
and they'll
gosh.
Know what you're talking about. Say, I don't want that Run Death Is Near. And they'll go, you mean remdesivir? Right.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
That's the one.
And, remdesivir right now on NIH's website, they have as the only published FDA-approved drug for COVID-19, next to its name and dosage for hospitals, it lists that remdesivir causes on the next column right next to it. It says the severe adverse events are remdesivir causes acute kidney failure and acute liver failure. Can you believe that? That's the drug they want to shove down your veins.
I just
in 5 to 10 days.
I can't because I remember standing there being told by a doctor with a big smile on his face, you know, we have this new drug called Remdesivir. It's very safe and effective. And now looking back at that, and I said, no, absolutely no. And he was shocked. But looking back at that, they sit there and smile with this. It's safe and effective, even though it hasn't even really been in the marketplace because it failed the only trial it was in, the Ebola trial. So they're sitting there saying these words to you. So what if somebody says, my loved one is up there, they're not vented yet, I'm really scared because now I know what's going on in the hospital. They're in the ICU. What happens if somebody wants to go up and get their loved one out in a wheelchair and wheel them out? What happens?
You sign what's called an AMA form and you demand it. It's called leaving against medical advice, AMA form. That's number one. That's if they're not vented. If you don't have the confidence to articulate to these people that you think are professionals or experts or security or bodyguards or bouncers for the hospital, if you don't think you can approach them and demand this stuff on behalf of your loved one, the best recourse and immediate recourse is going to be to get a patient advocate. Mm-hmm. And these are individuals who know the hospital systems. They know the chain of commands. They can also watch on my site, the Dr. Artist Show. I have several patient advocates who explain step by step the chain of command to advocate for your loved one, to get them out, or to change the protocols they're using.
Perfect.
By far, once they vent them, there's a few things. I want everybody to know. If they vent your loved one, that is not a death sentence.
Okay.
Most people they do vent do die, but that's not a death sentence for your loved one. Do not believe them. The actual sedatives that they have your loved ones on to be able to stick that tube down their throat and into your loved one's lungs to pump air in there, because they're shutting down your loved one's kidneys and flooding their lungs with water your kidneys can't excrete. They're drowning them to death, which is requiring the vent. In order to get them off the vent, you have to get them off the sedative. You know, they're inducing these people into like a coma so that they can shove this pipe down their throat. And they're using drugs like fentanyl, midazolam, lorazepam, and morphine. And I want to talk about these four drugs.
Okay.
They're using one of them or a combo. Each of these drugs suppress the body's ability to breathe, so it reduces respiration. Does that sound like that's any benefit to a COVID-19 patient, Kate?
No. Jeez.
Somebody who can't breathe, we're going to suppress their respiration? These drugs affect the brain's ability to control the diaphragm to breathe. It literally paralyzes their diaphragm, so they can't breathe. And then it shuts down the heart's beat and rhythm. So then the heart can't beat as fast. So it slows down your heart rhythm. And there's a lot of people that report to us that they have a loved one in the hospital on a vent. We've got them off Remdesivir, but when they go to take the vent out, the patient can't breathe on their own. So they have to put the vent back in. And this is what they email to me. And this is what I tell them. Ask them to tell you the fentanyl doses, midazolam doses that they've given that patient every day. And this is not a joke. From the time they're putting those people on the vent with those drugs, every day it's being reported back to us, and we're getting the medical record that they're increasing morphine, midazolam, and fentanyl every day. Do you know what that does to somebody?
What?
That gets them closer and closer to death because you are increasing more and more paralyzation of their organs. So when they're pulling the tube out, these people really can't breathe because they're being paralyzed by the drugs they're on. So we tell the patients, make sure they put the vent back in and start titrating your loved one or reducing the dose of each of those sedative drugs. And as you lower those sedation drugs, the patient will become coherent and become alive again and alert. And then you can pull the vent out. So these are all things that we get nurse advocates to participate in to help educate and oversee these different steps. But we're getting hundreds, if not thousands. We get thousands of these every week. Successful reports of people coming off of Remdesivir, coming off of the vent, going home when they were told they would be dead.
I am so glad you're doing this. You have a whole team on your website that does this, and you can request this kind of help. And it's the Dr. Artis, ARDIS, show.com. There's a section right on the top, and it talks all about advocates that you guys have that you can give people. We actually put this in our packet of information that we give people. I love it.
It's wonderful.
I think it's amazing what you're doing.
Yeah, we try to make this easy for people. So there's a get help button that says get help. And when you scroll the arrow over it, the first thing says contact Michelle Routon's team. There's a team of advocates with Michelle Routon being the leader. Okay. She has a medical doctor on that staff now. They have a nurse practitioner who's fully trained in Canada, mm-hmm. who is representing hospitalized Canadians. This is a phenomenal group. They represent all 50 states, and they're working in all 50 states and in Canada. And this medical doctor is helping them with their ethics committee meetings to challenge the medical doctors on staff of what they can do legally and medicinally to improve the state of the person they're treating. It's great. We loved it. It's been wonderful.
Amazing. I'm so glad to hear what you're doing. I hope this hour really saves somebody's life out there. I know it will, because it's wonderful information, and I love that you're doing this. Is there anything else you want after this last 2 years of insane crazy? What do you want people to know?
I want people to know, honestly, up front, I would love them to know this is not the only period of your life you've been lied to by the American medical complex, mm-hmm. or by our federal health agencies. There's a lot of us that have been in alternative healthcare for a long time who've already known about all these lies that you've been told, and mm-hmm. the mistreatment with drugs and treatment. I mean, they're just trying to sell drugs and create harm and disease that they can sell you drugs for life. There is better ways. I cannot tell you how many medical doctors walk up to me at all of these events and they go, "Dr. Artis, you and the chiropractors had it right all along. We were wrong."
Right. Yeah.
We're like, well, we already knew it. But welcome to our world, you know? So can I speak to something else in my world that I'm trying to do to thwart the agenda of harm and death, which is what they're doing? This is the agenda?
Yes.
At the drartisshow.com, I decided about 3 months ago, I knew for 20 years now that you've been lied to. I've been lied to. Everybody's been lied to mm-hmm. in the world of medicine. You're also being lied to about something else. You're being told that the vaccines are safe and effective. However, on the Moderna and Pfizer's inserts and fact sheets that the FDA prints mm-hmm. for those two shots, it states that myocarditis and pericarditis are side effects of the vaccine.
Hmm.
Myocarditis is heart muscle inflammation, which is a sign and symptom of the beginning stages of congestive heart failure. The CDC's already confirmed it. The FDA is publishing it, that these are known side effects of these shots, and now they're pumping them into every 5 to 11-year-old kid in this country since October 26th. They're coming after the newborns and the infants. I guarantee you, in the next few months, they'll be pumping all these shots into every newborn to 5-year-old. There's going to be an unprecedented amount of myocarditis, heart inflammation, fatigue, and death from these shots. I decided that with my platform, I was going to release some solutions to how to reverse and heal myocarditis that you're going to be told by the medical profession you cannot heal.
Okay.
There is not a heart condition I haven't seen heal over the 20 years of my clinical experience using nutritional and therapeutic and dietary recommendations. So I want on your site, I want people to know that on my site, thedrartisshow.com, at the shop button, there's a category that opens, and it's called 10 for 10. This is a new thing I launched about 3 weeks ago. I decided I was going to create 3 10-minute healing segments with a PDF you can download that tells you how to reverse myocarditis, how to reverse chronic COVID, which is called longer haulers COVID, and how to reverse high blood pressure naturally. And I teamed up with a 40-year board-certified cardiologist named Dr. Thomas E. Levy.
Okay.
And him and I did, each of these have a 10-minute interview we did where we explain these conditions and how you actually reverse them. And then we have a PDF that you download that tells you at home or at a clinic, if you need IV infusions, what exactly you need, what doses you need, and for how long mm-hmm. to reverse myocarditis and prevent it. And then how to reverse hypertension and beat it naturally. And then how to beat long haulers COVID. I am not going to allow our federal health agencies and our government to mandate something that gets injected into our innocent human beings and children that is known to cause heart failure and death without me trying to offer a solution. I have to step in and try to trust that God and what he put on this planet for man is going to benefit these individuals, even in these traumatic situations where they've been injured by a man's creation. So these are called 10 for 10. It's 10 minutes of healing for $10. Okay. And I'm splitting the revenue with these health experts. Right now, It's just Thomas E. Levy's 3 that we just released, and we're going to continue to release these. I've got 10 anticipated that we're going to release between now and the middle of February. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be coming down to my home February 12th,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be recording five of these. There's five things she knows how to beat naturally from her clinical experience, and she wants to unleash these on the world because, as we're learning now, we can't always trust what we're being told in the world of medicine, pharmaceuticals. So we're trying to make people aware now as this distrust has become just euphoric and on a monumental scale for most people around COVID. We want them to know there's a resource for them in the future that we can use. So
that is wonderful.
The things we're going to be coming, things you can anticipate, just so your audience knows, all those who have children, grandchildren, I've got five of these 10 for 10s we're going to be releasing soon with a neonatal nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to teach everyone how to beat eczema in children in 2 weeks or less, all naturally. How to beat chronic ear infections in children within a month or less, period, and they will never return. How to beat constipation in children. These are the kind of things we're going to do and teach you how to do naturally, because you can do this stuff naturally, just like you can beat COVID-19 naturally. Natural immunity is always one. It's always been far superior.
Excellent. I love that you're doing this because I swear $10 to save your life on something is far better. You know, that these hospitals are making, what did they make off of us? $70,000 plus all the kickbacks they get for declaring somebody has COVID. And you know what? There's a lot of money that people are having to pay when they go in to try to even test for COVID, and then they put you in the hospital and yada, yada, yada. What a great way to learn how to do this naturally. I love this. So good on you guys for doing this.
I'm going to combine with medical health experts that you would be going to their clinics, and your insurance copay would be more than the $10 we're going to charge you to stay at home and download, get the same info.
That is so true. You know, we brought up on this show before anybody, we brought up way in the beginning, probably what, like 9 months ago, 8 months ago, the fact that Sarracena purpurea is the plant that helps with smallpox if they were ever to drop that. And it can stop any viral within the 12 hours. And supplements are starting to be made for that. And it just makes you want to make sure that you realize how to solve these things with the plants and the things that we've been given and the natural health we've been given by God, because we have to go back to that. We have been on the medical track, the universal healthcare system, for far too long and didn't realize it. And I think this is such a great way to get natural health back into natural health and solving things for pennies on the dollar and doing it the natural way, which doesn't have all the side effects. I love this. This is great.
Kate, I can tell exactly why millions of your audiences love you.
No, you're so nice.
You're a phenomenal human being.
You are so sweet. Thank you so much, Dr. Brian Artis. What a treat. Always is when I have you on the show. And this is such a powerful hour. I really hope people pay attention, because you just answered questions that I'm getting a lot of right now. How to get somebody off the vent, how to get them out of there, how to heal a sore throat, how to heal at the very, very beginning. And then, of course, you know, what to do about myocarditis, which is affecting people. And so over a million people, 1,033,000 adverse reactions so far just in 9 months. That's crazy. So we've got to do something. I really appreciate you.
And for those that are feeling really hopeless and have a loved one on a vent, on the drartishow.com, there's a video with me and Dr. Richard Bartlett from Odessa, Texas. And I made him tell my audiences exactly step by step. And the pulmonologist who's going to be overseeing you on the vent, he takes the pulmonologist step by step how to get them off a vent and how to use budesonide in that closed system to get them off the vent. And he's done this with many people around the country participating in the ethics committee meetings, in the advocacy meetings, to change the protocols for loved ones. It has been a successful thing thousands of times already.
That is so amazing. You know, right after my video came out, a former senator gave me a call and had that issue and did the budesonide, and his loved one was on a vent, and they were able to be successful in she's alive today. And so, you know what? There's so many things that can be done. I so appreciate you guys putting out good information. Love it. Thank you.
We're trying.
All right. The Dr. Artis Show.com. The Dr. Artis Show.com. I'll put the information in show notes. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate you coming on.
Kate, you're very welcome. I hope you and your family are blessed, and I'm loving that you're still spending time with your husband. How great is that?
Exactly. He's alive. He was playing golf on the fifth day. I don't think people realize that, out of the hospital with an oxygen that was at 79. I mean, there is hope, you guys, and get these loved ones out of there. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
You're welcome. We love you guys.
Thank you.